this morning, and Josh for those songs this morning. Good to see everybody here. Glad you're with us, especially if you're visiting with us. We would encourage you and invite you back any opportunity you may have to come and be with us. We will meet this evening at 5 o'clock, a little bit different than our usual Sunday night worship or study group. We'll be having our second Sunday singing. Always enjoy that time together, and there is so much good that we can do with singing and remembering the words which we sing, because they're just teaching God's words, what we're striving to do as we meet together. And then immediately following this evening, of course, we'll have our birthday anniversary fellowship and sing along as well. And sorry we can't be at Anna's and Kelly's. Kelly called me this morning and says, "Paul, we're underwater." And I think he's about right. It's just a muddy mess, and you can't get in, can't get out safely. So they thought it better to go ahead and move back to here. We appreciate them trying to do that from year to year. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, hold them up. It's so good to have the Bibles held up. It's so good to see as many Bibles as we have open, and I hope they are open and following along. You can follow along with the screen to my left, to my right, this side. And you've also got an outline in your bulletin, and you can follow along there. You'll notice blanks in that outline. That's just so you can keep yourself focused and fill in those blanks as we go down through the sermon. Hopefully you're still keying on what we're reading and studying from God's Word. It is somewhat easy, I would imagine, in our society today to know your place in business or in the business world. We know our expectations and we know how to achieve those expectations. In school, we know what the expectations are. The teacher goes through it at the beginning of every year. Are we there yet? Go one more, I think. There we go. The teachers at the beginning of each school year tell you the expectations, and they tell you how to achieve those expectations. We've got school teachers in the auditorium. You can get that information from them. But somehow, as we get into the church, we begin to lose track a little bit of expectations and achievements. And how do we go about it? What's really expected of me as a child of God? That's what we want to talk about a little bit this morning. You see, there are those in the world that have suggested that the church isn't important, but we want to go back to the church, and that's why the reading this morning in Acts chapter 2. To realize that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we're thankful for. He rose again to show that he is the Son of God, and he established the church, which was spoken of in Acts chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 1, and bear with me if you would for my throat. We'll get through somehow this morning. But listen to the words that Paul writes, and he put all things, God put all things in subjection under his feet, the Lord, Jesus, and gave him, Jesus, as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. It's the completion. It's everything. It's the fulfillment of Jesus, that body of Christ. And we want to remind ourselves that that's what we're talking about this morning. We are a called out people, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, in subjection under one sovereign, one master, one God, that being Jesus Christ, Matthew 28 verse 18. He has all authority. We bow to him. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, you're looking at the screen and it's not going to be there. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul writes about being raised to the heavenly places, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That literally is, in Greek, heavenlies. That's the spiritual life that you and I are to live. The question this morning is, what do you mean when we say living a spiritual life? There's a lot of vagueness to that term when you think about it. Some may have a very quick response. I wanted to look back at Acts chapter 2 in the reading that Bo read just a few moments ago. There are three things that are important for us to realize with Jesus Christ and the church. Why the church was established. In Malachi chapter 3, and I go back to the Old Testament, these are some of the last words we had from prophets for about a 400-year time period before Jesus was born. I want you to listen to the verse, because when you first read it, you say, that doesn't make any sense, let's just move on. But listen more closely. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Now, when we first read that, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Let's break it down for just a moment. There was a remnant that had returned back from captivity. This is the remnant we're referring to. They were receiving these prophecies, and this is the last prophecy for that 400-year gap. But look again at what it says. These men that feared God were, first of all, together. They were together and they were speaking with one another, perhaps about God, it doesn't say. Perhaps thinking of the purposes that God had for their lives, being that remnant brought back from captivity. Again, we don't know for certain. What we do know, as you continue the verse, that God put together a book of remembrance. What would that book of remembrance be? Well, there's only a couple of possibilities. One would be the works of those people, the acts. And it could also be that.
Thank you.
The other part of it is the idea of the words that they were sharing. Words and acts in a book of remembrance which pleased the Lord. And you say, Paul, what does that have to do with us today? The first thing we need to understand about the church is the need for fellowship. I fear at times we understate what we're talking about with fellowship. But let's look a little bit closer. The people of the Lord, and I'm talking to the saints here in Monticello right now. The people of the Lord need the spiritual stimulation to grow. That's what that fellowship is about. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, Solomon writes, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I can't tell you the importance when we're together, how I feel dealing with some of us. We share different things at different times. I got to visit with Chris Bryant this past week out in my driveway, and we just missed him. Kelly Koontz will call me up sometimes, and we'll visit over the phone. Iron sharpening iron. I remember and cherish the memories of my visits with D.W. Chambers. Oh, he put you to the test. And at times, I'm afraid some might have thought that I was arguing with D.W. I wasn't, and he wasn't arguing with me. He just wanted to make a point. I just wanted to make a point back. But oh, by the time we were done visiting with each other, we just enjoyed that time. And we'd smile about it and we'd laugh about it. That fellowship time's important. Whether you're talking about sports, whether you're talking about your other activities, your family, or whatever, fellowship together is important. Notice, if you would, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Romans chapter 12 and looking at verse 15. When we talk about fellowship, when we talk about fellowship, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In fellowship, we do sorrow for others. We have had in the past month and a half, 2 months, some really difficult times. And we have shared tears with each other. There's also the times we rejoice. And we spend time encouraging and laughing and joking. And that's an important part of our lives in Christ. That's that fellowship we're referring to. In Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. If you're knowing Hebrews, you know where this is going to go. But don't get too far ahead of me yet. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. The writer of Hebrews is talking about not forsaking the assembly. But we often forget the importance of why. And we're still dealing with fellowship. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be together as God's people to encourage each other to live the life Christ wants us to live. That's so very important. Just that extra little boost along the way to get us from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday again. Anytime we have the time to be together is an important time. We need to remind ourselves of that. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and looking at verse 1. Another thought regarding fellowship. It's a mutual pick-me-up. Now please understand, it's not about trying to be critical of others in their lives. But notice what he says in Galatians 6, 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself that you too will not be tempted. We need, and there are times, we need to lean on each other. We need to be encouraged to live the life Christ wants us to live. That's really what that fellowship is all about. Living a spiritual life is not an easy life. For some reason, we get the idea that it is. We commit ourselves to Christ in baptism, and then we say, everything's fine. Oh, you're just beginning the walk, and you need that encouragement each and every day to live for Jesus Christ. And there are times we have our pitfalls, and we're picked up, and we move on again. That's fellowship time. The times that we need to be together to encourage each other. There's a song in our song book that goes something like this in the chorus. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. Brothers and sisters, we are God's family. And in the time that we spend in fellowship, some may scoff at, it's not that important. Oh, it's vital for our spiritual welfare to be surrounded by brothers and sisters who care about me. They're not here to judge and be critical. They're here so that we can grow in the Spirit of the Lord and reach that heavenly home one day. I hope that's your prayer each and every day. It is mine. So that we can together be in the presence of Almighty God. The second reason for the need of the church is for worship. As we have assembled here this morning for the purpose of worshiping, the local church is a society of worshipers. That's what we come together for. That special group of people authorized to be priests. Each and every one of us are recognized as priests of Almighty God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We're called to be His people. And we're called to come together and worship God as we have this morning. But I want you to know, because sometimes we just kind of gloss over the idea of worship, but let's move on to the next point. Everything that we have done in worship to this point this morning, there's a purpose for it. It's not just to say we worshiped in spirit and in truth. That's where we often stop. Let's break it down just a little bit. We begin in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I know there are those that would suggest we don't need the preacher. And I'll go with you. We don't need the preacher. I want you to know that part of that worship that we're talking about is preaching faithfully God's word. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Some translations, hearing by the word of God. We need the time to hear God's word preached and taught. We gather as we have this morning. Some will say, but I can do this at home. No, you can't. One, because I'm going to challenge and suggest that a good chance you're probably not reading if you're not here. I know we like to think otherwise, but that's my bet. Two, I know that there are some very difficult passages in God's word. I do not stand before you this morning and suggest I know it all. In fact, there are several of you that would agree with me I don't even know close. And that's all right. But we try to share God's word together. We try to grow together so we can be the faithful people living spiritually, living in the heavenlies, as the Apostle Paul would put it. So our preaching is important from week to week so we can hear God's word faithfully preached and we can apply it to our lives. But let's go on from preaching. And how about the singing in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16? Colossians 3, 16. And listen as he shares. It's still a teaching process here. But now it's not the preacher anymore. It's the saints, the members that are teaching one another. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We do worship God with our singing, and that's vital. You and I also need to understand, as we sing, you're singing across the aisle at each other. For those in the front, we're singing to the people in the back. One of these times, we're going to turn around and really mess them up. We're singing to each other. Oh, and for those who say, but I don't have a voice, it doesn't matter. Are you going to sing for the Lord or not? Are you going to teach someone else or not? If you sing monotone, it's fine. But we need to be singing. I want you to know, and I've had a chance to share it. I won't go any more personally with it this morning than that. But I have pointed out some folks in this group that I'll go to and say, I'd love to hear your singing. maybe it's the chorus director in me. So while I'm sitting there in front of Carrie and Becky and back of Jeff and by my wife, and I hear, I'm listening to everything. And if I move around in the auditorium to a different place on Wednesday night, I'm listening to your voice. And I want you to know, I'm thrilled to death to hear your voices. It's a joy for me. And some say, oh, you don't want to hear my voice. Oh, yeah, I do. I want to hear everybody's voice because we're singing together. We're teaching each other about God. Singing is an important part of that growing in faith. That's why we need to have it. Third, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to be reading verse 7 and 8. Giving is an important part of worship. It's a part of that growing faithfully in the Lord, living spiritually through the church. In 7 and 8, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. The giving that we do on Sunday mornings is vital for our growing in faith. It's vital for our living spiritually for our Lord. It's important that we are cheerful givers, giving to the work of God. And I do want to go a step further with that. In Philippians chapter 4, and I won't read it because it's a little bit lengthier reading, but in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church, lets them know they were supporting him through his missionary journeys. And while he was in Rome, they had lost track of him. They had lost track of how they can get money to him. And he's writing because they finally figured it out. And he says, now you got it, and you are such a blessing to me, because I needed that support, and you've been there to hold me up. Oh, how important that is in the life of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, there's another little thing we need to remind ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. For we are all God's, let me do it again. For we are God's fellow workers. You, in giving money each Sunday, you're supporting the work of the Lord. Whether it's here in Monticello, whether it's overseas, which we do, whether it's TV broadcast or radio programs, which we do, it may be benevolent work, which we do, the education of our children, which we do, and you understand now, when you put money in that collection plate in just a few moments, you are taking an active part in the work of God. We don't often say it that way, but we need to. You are helping proclaim the message of God to the world when you give as we do in just a few moments. It's not just about that building out there on Route 4425. It's about teaching Christ at every opportunity we have. Giving is important. And then there's the prayers that we pray from week to week, not just on Sunday, but we're still talking about the worship. In James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5. And reading verse 16. Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Prayer is important in our lives day by day. Paul puts it a little bit differently if you turn to Philippians chapter 4. Looking at verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Skip over to verse 13, because this is the answer to all the struggles Paul ever faced. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we've got to pray. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to go before the throne of grace to reach out to God. And he reaches back with his wonderful grace that we talk about. That's a growing faith, a living spiritual faith. And then we've left one out, and it's not been intentional. We've just saved it to last. The Lord's Supper. We're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I appreciate Kelly's words last week about the Lord's Supper. The importance of just really examining what are we doing when we take the Lord's Supper. Listen to some of the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, beginning with verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. That partaking of the Lord's Supper that we did just a few moments ago is important to realize all of us are together in this thing. Now, if you go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they had a problem with the early church. They were arguing how they were going to take the Lord's Supper. Some took it early, some took it later, or they were feasting and came together and then they divided again. Definitely not a unified congregation. So what he talks about is the importance of coming together as God's people, beginning in verse 23, talking about taking the Lord's Supper. I'm skipping down to verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. One of the things you and I are doing this morning is proclaiming Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and he's coming back again one day. Worship is so very important for the church. There are those who would suggest it's not that important. I don't need to be here. I would beg to differ. Because each of those five things that we do in worship are things that will build you faithfully, will help you to live a spiritual life for the Lord. But the third thing we mentioned about the church is the need for good works. The church is a place of organized labor and service. You might not have thought that, but it's an organized place of labor and service. In Acts chapter 6, there was a group of women, the widows, who were being overlooked in the daily giving of bread, the daily giving of meals. And they went to the apostles, and the apostles said, we can't do this. It needs to be given to the deacons. Had another formal group coming up. And let them take care of it so we can be about preaching the word. I used deacons. It's seven men that were there putting in charge to take care of it all. We have opportunity in the church to work together in many, many ways. Some of you are missing opportunities, by the way. I don't have time to list them this morning. Come talk to me. I'll give you a long list. And I know the people to point you to. Because there's work for everybody here. But let's not overlook not only the good works, the benevolence. I do want to bring up another part that is vital for you and for me in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Another purpose of the church with this good works is preaching the gospel of Christ. That was one of the reasons for the church. Look in verse 10 if you would. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. We are God's spokespeople. We've already talked about being fellow servants, fellow workers in God's kingdom. When was the last time you told someone about Christ? When's the last time you tried to set up a Bible study? When was the last time you invited somebody to come to church with you? So they can know the grace of God. They can know of the gospel of peace through Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, as you read through that verse about a chosen people, a royal priesthood, for the purpose of proclaiming the excellencies of God. That's why we're here. And we need to be about teaching others, telling others about Christ. Fellowship, worship, good works. Where do you fit in? And I'm going to quickly go through some possibilities this morning that you need to question yourself. Where am I at? What am I doing for the Lord? Where do you fit in as a member of the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul breaks down the importance of each individual in the church. We're all part of a body. Not one of you is exempt from that. No matter how young a child of God, to how old you are a member of a body, and each part of the body does a work, does something to help the church grow and live spiritually for the Lord. Every Christian who is not actively involved in the work of the church, there is some work of God in this world that is being left undone. Have you thought about it that way? If you're not doing a work for the Lord, that work is going undone. As a band director, I'd chart a show for the field. And it always looked good on paper because if you got 75 kids, you got 75 spots filled. But on a Friday night, any given Friday night, there may be two, three, or four individuals gone because of sickness. And up from the stands, you can see where those gaps are. And you can't change those gaps, because if you do, you mess up everybody. And so those gaps are just there. In the church, it's the same thing. Each of you have an important role to play. And if you're not playing that role, then there's a gap. And someone else is going to have to figure out how to cover that. It probably won't get covered. It's just the gap. You are important to the church and the work of the church. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, we continue with the ideas of we need to be regular in the presence for and participation in its public services. Whenever we have a chance to come together, we need to come together. I've already read Hebrews chapter 10, and not forsaking the assembly, but listen, as James puts maybe a little bit different in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We say, what's the big deal of going to church for worship? Because if we know we're supposed to be there and we're not there, it's a sin. We're just living a sinful life. We're not living the life the Lord wants us to. We're not living spiritually and faithfully to Him. We've already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, how important it is to be a cheerful giver. I hope in just a few moments that as you dig into your wallet or purse or the check you've already got written out, that you've got, you're giving it as cheerfully as you can. I know it's the Christmas season, and I know where money goes on Christmas season. I hope you set it aside for the Lord first. I hope you said He's going to get the bulk of what I've got. Unfortunately, that's not always it is. It's whatever's left over. We need to be cheerful givers for the Lord. We need to let people see us as worthy representatives of the purity and righteousness for which the church stands. And that's what the church stands for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, reading verse 32. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. As I'm looking at that, and that's not where I want us to be. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. We need to live such lives so that the world around us sees nothing but Jesus Christ. I shared in Bible class this morning, the tendency is, I don't want to be a part of that group because they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're doing the same things I'm doing. Why the difference? Brothers and sisters, are we standing out like lights? Are we being the salt of the earth, light of the world? Or are we falling into the way they live their lives? We also need to use our special abilities and training in the work of the church. And if you're not sure where that leads you, you need to come talk to us again. Talk to the elders. They'll give you a job. Each of us have wonderful abilities. I've always been amazed at VBS time, the way you guys decorate rooms. It's crazy. You got abilities. I also am thrilled when we hear about some of the teachers who are teaching the classes. You've got abilities. Oh, but we need to train and work with others so they can grow in the same way. There's no place for gaps. And then finally this morning, we need to love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to be about loving them. A part of that in the passages that I have on the board is don't create division. Don't create friction with each other. That's learning to love. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, it's learning to be positive in our lives. I have, as I deal with people, there's a phrase that I use, and it's coming from Winnie the Pooh. Actually, it's not Winnie the Pooh as much as it's Eeyore. But I see this little black rain cloud on some people's heads. All you ever hear from some folks is the negatives. We need to hear the positives. Even if you're down, we need to hear the positives. I go to the nursing home and get more uplift from some of those folks there, and you're not near them. They give great encouragement. They have reason to be down, but they're not the little black rain clouds. It's us folks that's still trying to walk around and do what we're supposed to. We need to be doing better at it. If you're sitting upright this morning, if you walk through the doors this morning, You are a step better than folks at that nursing home.
Amen.
We need to be a positive people. And finally, in John 13, love needs to be that special characteristic in our lives. Loving one another in disagreements. Loving each other in struggles that we may face. Loving each other as we strive to live for God. I hope that's what you're trying to do. The church is important for fellowship and for worship and for good works. You have a place to fill. Maybe this morning as a child of God, you're not filling that role. You need to get right with the Lord because you've drifted away. You're not where you need to be. You need to return to Him and renew that commitment, that self-denial to be what the Lord wants you to be, not what the world wants you to be. If you're outside of Christ this morning, you need to respond to Jesus Christ. The song is, what would you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What you do today determines the response you'll receive on Judgment Day. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to be baptized this morning, we would invite you to do so at this time as together we stand and sing.